from the Danker Studio on Library Square, this is The Rundown, an exploration of local news, current events, and issues that matter to you. I'm Roger McDonough. Down the show, we have the first in a recurring series of conversations with candidates for statewide office. And this afternoon, it's an interview with Charles Stormont, the Democratic contender for an office that's recently been plagued by scandal, that of the Utah Attorney General.
Coming from the AG's office, I certainly get those questions. You know, what did you know and when did you know it? And the answer to that is I read about it the same way most of the people in the state did. But because of where I sit and what I see from, you know, where I sit and do my work, I feel like I have some ideas that are very important reforms we need to bring forward to bring some real structural controls into place so that we don't go through any of that ever again.
That and your top local headlines just ahead on The Rundown. Welcome back to The Rundown. I'm Roger McDonough. Coming up later on the program, an interview with the Democratic candidate for Utah Attorney General. But first up, we have these headlines. The leader of a conservative Utah think tank is stepping down. Paul Marrow served as head of the Sutherland Institute for 14 years. The board asked him to step down on Tuesday over disagreements about the organization's future. The Deseret News reports that the board chairman, Stanford Swim, will serve as acting CEO until a new president is elected. Marrow told the newspaper the disagreements were not about the organization's philosophy and that it will continue to help pay a lawyer working with Utah Attorney General Sean Reyes to defend the state's ban on gay marriage. The Sutherland Institute was founded in 1995 by wealthy investment manager Gaylord Swim and is named for a U.S. Supreme Court justice from Utah, George Sutherland, who fought government expansion in the 1930s. A legislative commission met at Utah's Capitol on Wednesday morning to discuss the state's legal options in a potential struggle over public lands. Members of the Commission for the Stewardship of Public Lands vented their frustration with the federal government's handling of public lands in Utah while exploring how a state transfer of those lands might affect their management. For a recap of the hearing, here's KCPW's Ryan Cunningham.
During the general session earlier this year, the Utah legislature set up the Commission for the Stewardship of Public Lands to make recommendations on the transfer of federally held public land to state control. In total, the bill establishing the commission had 36 sponsors, roughly one-third of the entire legislature. Accordingly, the support for a state takeover of federal lands has been overwhelming among state lawmakers. But Utah Attorney General Sean Reyes, who would lead a potential legal battle against the federal government, says the first step should be articulating the state's legal position.
Actually writing the complaint is the easiest part of this whole process. Once we have the legal theories, once we know what we're asking, once we know what we want to do, that's just sort of the rote scrivener's task of writing it out. The problem is right now we don't know what we're writing yet, and I'll be frank about that. We haven't come to the conclusion that a particular litigation path is the path to take. Once again, because there are so many different pieces of this, and we want to make sure that whatever we do, if we do it litigation-wise, is not counterproductive to what others are doing.
But Reyes is skeptical that a lawsuit on its own would bring about the change being sought.
If you want my unvarnished opinion, I don't think litigation alone is going to move the needle, a ton. It can provide an impetus, again, to accelerate and cause enough, litigation enhances risk. And I think enhanced risk forces more reasonable, compromises or legislation. People have different interests and they want to find a solution.
The complaint for a majority of the commission's members is largely the same, that Utah isn't getting the bang for its public lands buck. Representative Mike Noel says greater state control of public lands is needed to fund things like education in the state.
And the problem that arises is, and this is for my good liberal friends, is without the revenue, we cannot do a proper job of meeting the needs of the people of this state. Well, schools, higher education, health and welfare, all those things cannot be met without some kind of return on these public lands, which we're not getting. And they impact the private lands so much. These roads and access roads go to private property. They go to all kinds of things that would benefit.
Some members of the commission aired grievances over the Antiquities Act, which gives the president the authority to designate national parks and monuments. In fact, Representative Noel found the 1996 creation of the Escalante Grand Staircase National Monument to be dubious.
That is essentially a sagebrush. People have made comments that have come here to visit. Where's the Grand Staircase National Monument? As they drive along the highway between Big Water and Kanab, and they look at that vast area, and they says, this looks like a whole lot of nothing fenced in this area here. And there is some beautiful areas. There's no question about it. But there's a whole lot of areas that are not unique, not iconic, and that could be managed in a better format, in a better way than what we've been able to do.
To counter Noel's statement, Democratic Senator Jim DeBacchus referred to language from an old Arizona petition surrounding the creation of the Grand Canyon National Park.
The petition said this is strictly mineral country. The fate of Arizona depends exclusively upon development of her mineral resources. And then that a national park is a fiendish, diabolical scheme suckled by an idiot. So I just wanted to get that on the record that there was that point of view by some back then.
The commission's next meeting is on September 24th, and next time it'll be away from the Capitol in Midway. For KCPW News, I'm Ryan Cunningham.
The Utah parents of a woman accused of abandoning her baby in a trash can say their daughter didn't understand that what she was doing was wrong. Unified Police Detective Jared Richardson said Wednesday the two-day-old girl was still on a ventilator and fighting for her life in a hospital. The girl's mother, 23-year-old Alicia Marie Englert, was arrested Tuesday night on suspicion of attempted murder. Her father, Robert Englert, declined to comment to the Associated Press. Earlier in the day, he told Utah media outlets that his daughter had a learning disability and didn't understand her actions. Police say the woman told investigators she hid the pregnancy from her parents and placed the baby in the trash, hoping that the infant would die and her problems would be solved. Utah's Liquor Commission has approved a winemaking license for a new winery in the town of Hilldale, home to a polygamous sect. The Utah Alcoholic Beverage Control Commission approved the license for Vintage Reserve Estates on Tuesday. The winery's owners did not attend the commission meeting. Abe Cater with the State Liquor Department says the owners plan to sell wine through state liquor stores and apply for another license to sell wine on their Hilldale property. The twin Utah-Arizona border towns of Hilldale and Colorado City, Arizona, are home to the Fundamentalist Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. The sect is a radical offshoot of mainstream Mormonism, which does not practice polygamy. Members of the FLDS don't observe a ban on alcohol, while members of mainstream Mormonism do. And that does it for our top local headlines today. I'm Roger McDonough. You're listening to The Rundown. We'll be right back. Welcome back to The Rundown. I'm Roger McDonough. Now on the show, with election season ramping up, we're beginning a series of interviews with candidates for office in several statewide races. The Office of Utah Attorney General has been in the spotlight for some time now. In July, 2 years of investigative work by local, state, and federal officials, the Lieutenant Governor's Office, and the Utah State Legislature culminated in the arrests of former Attorneys General John Swallow and Mark Shurtleff. The pair face a number of corruption charges stemming from their time in office, and many of those charges relate to influence peddling, bribery, and obstruction of justice. After the indictment and resignation of John Swallow, Governor Gary Herbert appointed the current Attorney General, Republican Sean Reyes, as Swallow's interim replacement. Reyes is running to keep the position, and his Democratic opponent in that race is my guest on The Rundown today. We're joined now in studio by Charles Stormont, Democratic candidate for Utah Attorney General. Stormont himself is employed by the Utah Attorney General's office and is on leave as he challenges his boss for his job. Before we begin, I just want to quickly mention to our listeners that next week we'll be joined in studio by Attorney General Sean Reyes for a similar conversation. Charles Stormont, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
So, given the scandals that have recently rocked the position, I'd like to start with this simple question. What will you do to restore public trust in the Utah Attorney General's office?
I would love to see the Attorney General's office start to lead Utah government on transparency and ethics reforms. One of the things that I think we could very quickly and easily do in that office is follow a sort of a corporate model, create a one-stop shop for transparency and ethics in Utah, make sure we're educating government officials on what their duties are. If complaints are received, and we'll set up a hotline for everybody in the state to be able to call if they have a concern, there will be somebody on the other end to receive the call. Hear the citizens' complaints, and where appropriate, conduct an investigation. And if the facts lead to legal violations, prosecutions can occur. We have laws on the books right now that really are not being enforced in any way, shape, or form. And I think it's time for some leadership on that. Corporate America, corporations around the world do this. It's a model that could easily be recreated, very efficiently recreated within the AG's office, and bring some real reform, bring trust back to the people of this great state.
So I'm curious about this. Somebody out there in the public who has concerns about the Attorney General's office, or who has concerns more generally about violations of law in the state, or is this specific to the Attorney General's office?
All of the above. So if you've got a concern about a city official, a county official, somebody in an executive agency of the state, or in a state executive office such as the AG's office, you can report that. The AG has the authority, the investigative authority. Violations of a lot of our ethics and transparency laws are criminal when they're violated, and the AG has authority over those laws. So I think it's time for leadership on that. That's something I'd very much like to pursue once I'm elected.
What in your background prepares you for the work of reforming this office, but also in general for the position of Attorney General?
I think a fairly unique combination of experience. I spent 7 years in private practice at large international law firms in Washington, D.C. and here in Salt Lake City. Practicing civil litigation in the antitrust and intellectual property fields, working with clients from a variety of different industries, from oil field services to grocery stores to lighting controls and hospitals, and it just goes on and on and on. I can draw on that experience in private practice, but for the last 6 years, I have worked as a public servant. I know what the AG's office is supposed to be about. It's supposed to be about public service. It's something that I take great pride in. I love being able to show my children some of the projects I've had a hand in building around the state. And I think being able to draw on those two background pieces, the know-how from private practice, how big firms operate, even bigger firms than the AG's office, which has 235 attorneys. So being able to pull the best of those into our office, as well as continuing a focus on public service, I think that combination is a little bit different and a little bit unique. And I would love to come in and really update and modernize the office, because we are way behind the times when it comes to technology. We have some serious resource allocation problems in a variety of areas. And I would like to bring some real reforms and improvements so that the attorneys in that office are serving everybody around the state and serving them effectively and efficiently, much like you would expect if you were paying a private attorney to do work for you.
You know, many of the charges against the former attorney generals are tied to illicit fundraising and selling influence, though both men maintain their innocence and say that investigations against them were politically motivated. In particular, there are accusations that business people involved in illicit activities who wanted to avoid indictments could essentially pay for special treatment through campaign contributions and other favors. In light of this, do you think that the way that campaign fundraising happens should be changed, both for this office but maybe more generally?
So one point of clarification,
yes.
My view is that the Attorney General's office is a law office. It's a legal advisor. It's not a policymaking office. It can certainly be engaged in the policy discussion, but ultimate decision-making as to, for example, campaign finance reform in Utah will be up to the legislature. Mm-hmm. That's their responsibility. My personal views are that I would love to see them continue to explore additional reforms. Fundraising, as a candidate, I got to tell you, it's not a whole lot of fun, but it's important. It's how you get your message out. It's how you can afford media. It's how you can afford billboards and television and all those things that you need to do to introduce yourself to a lot of voters. But if given the history that we've seen, one of the things I've done is made a public commitment, not imposed by law, but imposed upon myself, not to take money from multi-level marketing firms, not to take money from payday lenders or biz op firms or other industries that we know receive a lot of complaints from consumers, both at the Utah Department of Commerce and at the federal level. Those industries, because of those complaints, we need to have some objectivity. We need to be able to turn and engage in an objective investigation when it's appropriate. And because those industries receive a lot of complaints, I've said I'm not going to take money from them. I don't know if any of them were inclined to give me money in the first place, but I'm certainly, if they do, I will return it.
Right. Is that something that you would like to see codified, though, that certain industries maybe that receive, you know, a fair share of complaints at the Attorney General's office, you know, candidates would be prohibited from receiving that kind of money?
You know, that gets into some First Amendment issues. And mm-hmm. We've seen in the Citizens United case that the Supreme Court has stated, you know, that that those types of donations are considered speech under the First Amendment. As an attorney, I have to respect that and honor that. So I think those types of laws would start to run into some issues. But I do think it's important for the voters to know that some candidates are aware of it and taking a stand on it.
In other states, you have attorneys general, very few states, but a handful of states around the nation that are appointed by the governor. And I'm wondering if that's a feasible way to insulate the position from what some see as the corrupting influence of money in politics. And would you recommend that for the state of Utah?
I absolutely would not recommend that. I believe the voters having a voice in their elected officials and their representatives in government is incredibly important. As an attorney, I also know it's incredibly important that we have independence as attorneys so that we can give good legal advice. When an attorney becomes captured by a client, they become too close to a client, their advice starts to fall off in terms of quality. And having an independent attorney representing the state in the attorney general's office, I think, is incredibly important. And an appointment by whoever it may be immediately does away with that independence. And I have a lot of concerns about that as an attorney.
Okay. And I'm just going to remind our listeners that we are speaking with Charles Stormont, a Democratic candidate for the office of Utah Attorney General. Charles, I'd like to ask you a question about the office that you've been working for. Do you see any political liability in the fact that you are coming from the same attorney general's office that Shurtleff and Swallow led? I mean, strictly from a sort of campaign strategy position, is that something that you've analyzed or thought about or are worried about?
You know, I'm not spending a lot of time worrying about political liability. I'm really trying to focus on a discussion about the law and the way we should run that office. I actually feel, having spent some time there, having learned about the problems that we've all heard about, I have a unique insight into ways to solve those problems. One example would be, everybody says, well, why didn't you speak up when you heard about all of this? Well, I didn't know about what was going on, and it's a problem with the way our office is structured. I'm very isolated in the work that I do and isolated from other attorneys in other areas where some of these problems were occurring. That is a serious problem, and it has not changed. We need to undo those silos that allow people to be isolated and potentially subject to intimidation by leadership in the office. So I feel like coming from the AG's office, I certainly get those questions, you know, what did you know and when did you know it? And the answer to that is I read about it the same way most of the people in the state did. But because of where I sit and what I see from, you know, where I sit and do my work, I feel like I have some ideas that are very important reforms we need to bring forward to bring some real structural controls into place so that we don't go through any of that ever again.
Hmm. And you work in litigation for Department of Transportation, is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. I'd like to turn actually just to a few issues that have been in the news recently where the office has played a role. Same-sex marriage. A federal ruling in the Kitchen v. Herbert case overturned Utah's Amendment 3 8 months ago. Your opponent, the current Attorney General Sean Reyes, has pursued appeals to that ruling because he says he is responsible for defending the laws of the state of Utah. You're on record as disagreeing with those appeals. Why is that?
I do believe we have to stand up for the laws of the state of Utah, including the part of our Constitution that says that the United States Constitution is the supreme law of the land. When people's rights are being affected, the Attorney General does not have a duty to defend laws that infringe those rights. The Attorney General, according to case law for more than 100 years, has an affirmative duty to stand up for people's rights. That's not happening right now. And whether it's popular or not, I believe it's incredibly important to have an independent voice giving legal advice and good legal advice. The Utah ban has been overturned by two separate federal courts. Similar bans have been ruled against in, I believe, 38 federal decisions. There's not a lack of clarity in the law in this area. It's very, very clear. A good lawyer knows that and needs to make sure we're not spending money in a wasteful way when the law is so clear. We need to get to solving some real problems in that office with resource allocation.
You know, I can think of other instances in which state laws conflict with federal statute, namely when it comes to immigration and to public lands policy. A law passed by the state legislature and signed by Governor Herbert in 2012 demands that the federal government cede control of federal lands by the end of this year. Is that a law that you would try to uphold through the courts? And I guess the question still has to be, how do you decide which state laws need defending, especially when there's this conflict?
Well, that state law blatantly conflicts with the Utah Constitution that states we've ceded control of all lands not otherwise appropriated to Utah by our own Constitution. I have a serious problem with anybody who's willing to take a piece of legislation that blatantly conflicts with the Utah Constitution. That's another example of you have to be able to stand up for all of the laws, and we have an order. The legislation cannot trump the Utah Constitution. The Utah Constitution cannot trump the United States Constitution. This is law school day one basic stuff, and yet we seem to have lost sight of that. I'd really like to get back to practicing law pragmatically and with some common sense rather than playing politics with issues that seem to resonate for whatever reason.
Reyes, I mean, the Attorney General now says that this is, that you can't, quote unquote, pick and choose the laws you're going to defend. And these are, again, these are state laws. But to you, that's how do you respond to that, I guess?
I would say you can't pick and choose which rights you stand up for as the Attorney General. States' rights are incredibly important. We have some serious issues with management of federal versus state lands in the state of Utah. Litigation is not going to solve those problems. It's just going to take time and push the problem down the road. I'd like to encourage the policymakers to focus on problem solving today rather than 2, 3, 4, 5 years from now. I think it's important that we recognize litigation is not an answer in certain situations. We need to be true to our own Constitution and really solve people's problems. These are affecting people's lives in very important and critical ways. Let's solve the problems. Let's not just talk about litigating, which doesn't help anyone. It does help maybe a few lawyers cash in, but that's not my interest. My interest is trying to promote the well-being of this entire state.
Hey, we're kind of low on time here, but there's a couple of more questions I'd like to get in. One of them is, a Democrat has not held the office for 14 years. How strong do you think your chances are, especially given your maybe less than conservative stances on things like same-sex marriage in the state of Utah? Prognosticating, I know it's a tough question for candidates to do.
Yeah, I like to remind people before John Swallow and Mark Shurtleff, we had three terms of Democratic attorneys general. it's an office where people in this state have shown a willingness to look at the candidate, to look at their skills, their qualifications. My experience as I've been campaigning is when people talk to me, they are excited about what we're doing and what we plan to do, about the reforms we plan to bring to the office, about getting certain parts of our office desperate support that they need. Our child protection attorneys have double and triple the recommended caseload. Our criminal appeals division is just overwhelmed. They cannot keep up. And when you look at some of the things we're doing with our money on litigation that's going to lose and that most people recognize is going to lose, when they find out about those problems, they realize, oh, wait a minute, there are other things we need to focus on to really help our children, to really make sure that our laws are being enforced properly and fairly across the board.
Do you think that the what I'm hearing from you is that money's being misallocated? I guess the question I have is why?
That's a question that you'll have to ask the current Attorney General. His motivations are his motivations, and I would love to know what he, says he's doing those things for. I think the voters can look at it, and I think it's a fair question to ask. If you know we're going to lose in court, why are we wasting money on these issues?
We're very low on time, but I'd like to get in at least one question about something outside of politics altogether. Can you tell us something about yourself that hasn't maybe been reported on much or that maybe people don't know about you, Charles Stormont?
I am a father of two wonderful kids. I am a diehard Real Salt Lake fan. If you've got any questions out there, Garth Lagerwey or I'm blanking on the coach's name. That's embarrassing. Coach Kassar. I'd love to give you some feedback on ways to get that team scoring some goals. I'm also managing my family's farm and ranch. It's about 6,000 acres. I'm the fourth generation to do that. We've got some great tenants, and it's not a full-time job by any stretch, but it does, I think, give me a unique insight into some of the issues facing our rural population here in Utah. I also used to own a small restaurant with my family. So there's, maybe some business experience that I have that some other folks don't have, some experience in the farming and ranching industry that I think, again, helps bring a unique perspective to things here in Utah.
Charles Stormont, Democratic candidate for the office of Utah Attorney General, I want to thank you for coming in and speaking with us today.
Oh, thank you very much for having me.
And again, a reminder that next Tuesday on the program, we'll have the counterpart to this discussion when I sit down with the Republican candidate and current Attorney General, Sean Reyes. I'm Roger McDonough. You're tuned into The Rundown. We'll be right back. Thanks once again for tuning into The Rundown this afternoon. Our show today was produced by yours truly, with help from Ryan Cunningham, Ross Chambliss, and Mr. Tyler Ford. Our theme music was composed by Tim Myers. Tomorrow on the program, tune in for the next in our monthly series of conversations with Salt Lake City Mayor Ralph Becker. I'm Roger McDonough. Thanks for listening. The Utah Business Report and Marketplace are coming up next.